Well, very nice to see everyone here tonight. I feel like turning my pulpit sideways here, which I could do for the camera as well. So you've all done me a favor to sit on this side. So we'll see who else comes and where they sit this evening. We welcome our webcast viewers as well, whoever may be joining in. And we thank you for being a part of this little Bible. We're up here in the sanctuary and here in our main, just a Bible study time and prayer time. And that means it's a little different from the Sunday preaching. And I trust that it is straight to the heart and that it will be a stirring of our hearts to seek the Lord and pray. So let's unite in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to meet with us and bless our gathering here. Father, we thank thee for all your grace to us and for all the blessings that are ours in the Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us at all times, yea, that thou hast promised to never leave nor forsake. And so we stand upon the promise of your presence, that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. You also said to your people in the Old Testament tabernacle, there I will meet with thee and commune with thee. And we come with our open Bibles, as we come in the name of the Lord Jesus to the throne of grace, we plead the presence and pray that thou wilt come and meet with us in a wonderful way through your word this evening. Thank you for your grace at work in our hearts. Thank you for the desire to pray, for the confidence that our God is gracious, that thou art long-suffering, of great compassion, and that you hear the prayers of the needy, that you have pity upon those in trouble. And we come to thee this evening in all our needs and spread before thee all the burdens and cares of our hearts. Lord, we thank thee for this special day in Canada, that we can remember the anniversary of the Confederation of this nation. Thank you, Lord, for the land in which we live, a land of freedom and plenty, a land of encouragement to all who strive to do good and righteousness. And yet, O Lord, we see things that discourage us and would turn many away from God. O Lord, we pray against the idols of this nation. We pray against those heathen religions that are contrary to Christianity. And then also that old spirit of atheism that would resist God. We cry out to thee tonight that the knowledge of the Lord might be spread across this nation. Lord, remember every church, every Bible-preaching people where the word of God goes forth. And we pray that the knowledge of the Lord will increase. We think of a young generation that needs to hear the gospel and needs to know the Lord. We pray that you will work in grace and in power. Remember our own congregation. Remember our own people. Thank you for those who joined with us on the Lord's Day, for those who were with us on the webcast as well. Lord, bless your people and encourage each and every one. We pray that you will minister to the lost. We pray for salvation for their souls, that they will be brought out of heathen's darkness into a true personal living experience of our Savior. O Lord, we pray that your word will live on in their hearts And we pray that you will take that word and make it good seed sown in their souls. We pray, our Father, that you will bless the elderly of our congregation. Remember those who not only can't get out to church, but can't get out anywhere, and very much are isolated to their own rooms. Lord, this is a difficult time, and I pray that you will minister in grace to them, that they will be kept from this virus, and we pray that you'll continue to bless this part of the country with freedom from this virus. We pray for other parts of around the world that are greatly troubled by it. Oh Lord, be gracious to stay this pandemic, to turn away this plague, and grant, Lord, that you will in mercy spare lives and suffering. And we pray for your direction and guidance to our leaders and all who fight this pandemic at this time. O Lord, do work in grace. We pray that you will use our radio ministry day by day. We thank thee for this opportunity to reach beyond our church. And Lord, in these days when home visitation doesn't seem to be possible, when there are restrictions and so many things, Lord, we pray that radio will continue to be effective, that your word will reach the hearts of men, women, young people, and that many will be turned unto the Lord. And so we pray thee to work, and we pray thee to move, and we ask that you will be glorified in it. We also bring to thee our missionaries at this time and pray for them in all the challenges they face in nations that are perhaps less prepared for a pandemic. And we would pray, dear Lord, for your watch care over them and your help to them. Remember our brethren in Jamaica. We pray for Randy and for Craig, that you will watch over them and bless that little congregation in Little London. We pray, Lord, that you would make that congregation to know the love of God and the power of your word in these particular times. We pray that there will be much fruit. We thank thee for a generation that have grown up knowing the Lord, from children's work and Sunday school, now young men and women who can themselves minister. Lord, grant that you will lead that congregation on from strength to strength and watch over them day and daily. O Lord, hear prayer. Remember Renee's request for her brother John. We pray, O Lord, that you will bless this man. We pray that you will give him a heart to know the Lord. Cause the light of the gospel to shine in, and we pray that you will minister to him by your grace at this time. We remember the sorrowing tonight as well for those that have lost loved ones. Oh Lord, this is a burden and an ongoing heartache, and we pray for the comfort of the Spirit of God and that you will work in your power and in your grace. So hear us and bless us this evening. Help us in the study of your word. Let us know your presence with us in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 16, and we're going to expand on some elements of Sunday morning's message on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you remember, there were three major points that the Holy Spirit's specific work is to teach the truth, he is to glorify Christ, and he's to comfort the sorrowing. And so I thought that over these next three Wednesdays, next Wednesday I will not be here, but two more beyond that, that we would take those three truths and two aspects of the Spirit's ministry and just look at it in a little more detail. And I trust that that will help us to grasp this wonderful, great doctrine. Preaching on Sunday mornings is the highlight of the week. And of course, I'm preaching to a mixed audience. We've got our own regular people. We've got visitors and friends. We've got children as well, as we do tonight. And so, I can't pause for every detail in a passage like this. And therefore, I hope it will be profitable to come back to it this evening, and that we will learn a little bit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the teacher. Our verse tonight is John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And that's really our topic for tonight, that he is the Spirit of truth, and he has come to guide into all truth. In the original language, it is the truth. There is the definite article, and it is the specific truth of God. Now, in John 17:17, that is very easily identified. What is this body of truth that the Holy Spirit is ministering? Well, in verse 17:17, you have the prayer of the Lord Jesus, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so the Holy Spirit's ministry is to open the scriptures and to teach us from God's word. The Holy Spirit will never lead Christians contrary to the Bible. You can be absolutely sure of that. If it's not according to the word, it's not from the Holy Spirit. And we must exercise that discernment. We must seek to always work within the boundaries and the limitations of the teaching of God's word. Now, just as the Lord Jesus, when he walked with the two men in the road to Emmaus, and he quoted to them from the scriptures of the Old Testament, the books of Moses, and he ministered to them, and they said to each other later, did our hearts not burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? And we know the ministry of the Lord Jesus was to bring those men into a personal, heartwarming, delightful experience of receiving the truth. That is also the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord promised that he would not leave them comfortless, that he would not leave them alone, that he would send the Holy Spirit unto them. And so it is the Spirit's ministry to open the scriptures and to teach unto us. It's also a fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who gave us this word. He is the one who moved men of God to write the word. And you can read of that in 2 Peter 1:19, how holy men were moved by the Spirit of God to write the scriptures. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the word. He's also the interpreter. And he opens up the scriptures to our hearts and gives us an understanding. And so there are two parts to the Spirit's work. One is inspiration, that's the written word. Men were inspired to write, and they did it once. They closed the book and it was done. That's inspiration. We don't pray tonight for inspiration. We don't pray for new revelations to add to the Bible. It's done. But we do pray for illumination. And we ask that in our dullness and in our slowness of learning, that the Holy Spirit will come and that he will illuminate and give us right thinking and give us a good, sure, clear comprehension of the word of the Lord. And so it is an operation of the Spirit upon our minds, which leads to our hearts, and he teaches us in the inner man as well. So here is the boundaries that are mentioned here. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And we can praise the Lord tonight that we have such a teacher who comes to our aid. Now, what we're going to do in our time allowed tonight is to look at some examples where the Holy Spirit has done this and where that has been evident in the hearts of various people, epistles, churches, and so on. And Lydia might be an example, although it's more on the line of regeneration. And we're not so much going there tonight. The Holy Spirit's work is to open the heart. And that's what happened to Lydia. The Lord opened her heart so that when Paul preached to that group of ladies at the riverside, she heard by faith and she received that word. And that was certainly the Spirit's work, and it was the work of her new birth and coming to new light in the Scriptures. We are going to what we might call step two, after that we're born again, after that we are saved and we're brought into the knowledge and the truth of salvation. The Spirit of God continues to work to teach us and to guide us into the truth. So let's look at the example in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The word behind the word spirit there is breath, air. We have not received the breath or the influence of the world. We have not received the teaching ministry of the world, but the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Now, it's inclusive language, speaking of Christians, people in the church professing Christ, and the us here is born-again believers, and the Spirit of God is teaching the Christian that we might know, that we might see, comprehend, grasp, get a handle on what God is saying to us in His Word. And so we, who are saved, that is, we're not following the influence of the world. We're not following the influence of men, but we are seeking to be spirit taught. And as we work down this passage, we see how this develops. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And so here we have the third person of the Trinity identified as the teacher. And how does he teach us? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so our benchmark is no longer the world. We're not going to be taught according to the ideas, the philosophies, the thinking of men. We're going to be taught from heaven, from the Lord. And we will be given the mind of Christ. And that is the ministry of the Spirit unto our hearts. Now you have the word here, comparing. Comparing. And that means judging together. We could do that in any number of things. A carpenter could take two pieces of wood, lay them side by side and see if they're identical or where there are differences. And the Holy Spirit also gives us that discernment. And the Spirit-taught Christian will have discernment. You will know the true from the false. You will know the thing that is right from the thing that's wrong. And the thing that is according to God or contrary to God. And the Holy Spirit gives us that inner ministry within our hearts. Now, the word receiving the things of God. If you look there at that passage, verse 12. Now we have received. And that receiving the things of God is to accept it. As opposed to the unconverted man or woman who will reject the light. The Lord Jesus said that wicked men hate the light and run from it. They will reject the truth. But the Christian who is given the Holy Spirit's ministry, they will receive and rejoice happily in the things that the Lord is showing unto us. And so in the heart of the Christian, the heart of the believer, whether you're reading your Bible alone, just going over those verses, thinking about them, comparing them with other verses, the light comes on. And there's a ready receiving of that word. It could happen in the sermon as well, in church. And the preacher could be having his worst day, but you're having your best day. You're blessed because the Lord's teaching you. You're not depending on the preacher. You're depending on the Lord to open up that word and make that word to live within your heart. Now, in verse 14, it gives us the negative side of this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That has to be the unconverted man. That has to be the one who is not spirit taught. And he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He rejects them. And he fights them. And he resists them. He squirms against them. And we know of people who sit in church or sit under some witness or other and they squirm. They're uncomfortable. They're not taking it in. They're fighting it all the way. And that is the way of the natural man. Why is that? Because it is foolishness. Foolishness. And I think the best English synonym for that word foolishness would be the word absurd. To the unconverted, the gospel is absurd. It is so simple, so centered in one man, Jesus Christ, and even the name sounds strange to an unbeliever's ear, and therefore he rejects it because it just makes no sense in his natural carnal thinking. Neither can he know them. He doesn't get it. He doesn't grasp it. That's the heart of the natural man. And so here we have this clear example that is given to us. We'll just read the rest of the passage. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now there is something we should be praying for. There is something we should be asking for in our Bible reading or in our coming to church or to a Bible meeting. Give us the mind of Christ. That's the prayer that we should be uttering, that we truly receive the word to the profit of our own souls. Now we're going to move on to another passage, and that's Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. And this is actually a prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church at Ephesus. And he's praying that they will be given the Holy Spirit, teaching them in the inner man. Let's look at this. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an example in prayer of how we should pray. This is how the apostle prayed for these Christians. We should be praying for one another likewise, and for all who come under the ministry of our church. How does he pray? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Oh, that surely is the Spirit teaching. The preacher couldn't do that. The preacher couldn't touch the inner man. That is to be taught in the soul, in the heart. That's a spiritual comprehension. And this is his prayer. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Now there's a good word, comprehend. And of course, when you look that one up, it is the term katalambano. Katalambano, that's the Greek word for comprehend. And it means eagerly lay hold on, eagerly grasp, that ye may comprehend with all saints. Now, we're not asking for something peculiar here. We're not asking for something so personal that it's weird, that I've got light that no one else has. No, it is that we may comprehend with all saints. This is the common knowledge that every Christian should have and ought to be seeking after, that we may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. So it is very gospel focused. It is what every Christian should be enjoying and delighting in, and it comes in its full reality by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, being Spirit taught in these things. Now, there's another term that is given here, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And sometimes you have those people who are so mystical, they are so subjective, mysterious, and they say, oh, I had this wonderful revelation, vision, dream, however they word it, and they say, I got something from the Lord that was so you're just out of the ordinary. Passive knowledge. Well, it doesn't mean something mysteriously weird and new, but something that is above and beyond the natural mind, that the carnal thinking man can't grasp, and it goes beyond. It's like hitting the ball out of the park. It's like something that just the natural man has no clue. But to the child of God, not just one or two Christians, but all the saints, every Christian may enter into this wonderful blessing. And so the Holy Spirit, to put it very simply, he gives a capacity to receive and enjoy truth, which otherwise we wouldn't have. And he does it every day. At least every day that we're seeking to be taught, every day that we are yearning to be blessed through the Word and to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And it's much more than academics. It's more than according to our academic ability. And there are people who have none of that, but yet when it comes to the Bible and spiritual things, they are spiritual giants. I read many years ago of revival in Scotland, which produced people who were very poorly educated. They could barely read the alphabet. And after they were converted to Christ and grew in grace, they were able to handle the Bible and to teach the Bible with great depth and insights. And yet when it came to other forms of learning, they had none. They were spirit taught. They were given an understanding that passeth knowledge above and beyond their own natural capacity. That's the Spirit's work. And so we can each here tonight say, Lord, you've done in my heart, you've opened my mind to the Scriptures to teach me things that I could never have received if it was not granted by the gracious work of the Spirit of God. Now, there are some very clear passages, and I suppose they have to do with the subject of election, how God is pleased to do this in some and not in others. But if you go to Matthew chapter 13, and verse 11, Matthew 13 and verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now there is the sovereignty of God. And there is the wonder that many seem to be bypassed while the Lord in his grace opens our hearts and minds and leads us into this enjoyment of spiritual truth. And that's grace. That's the sovereign working of God in his grace to his own believing people. And so there is reason for humility and reason for bowing the knee and just trusting the Lord in all that we do. And so the child of God who is spirit-taught is wired in, programmed. You remember the days when you had a computer before everything was on a hard drive on the computer. There was an operating software that the first thing you do, you switched on the computer and you put in this floppy disk. And before you put in the floppy disk, the thing was totally empty. There was no knowledge in it whatsoever. And you put in this disk, turned on the catch on it, and then it started grinding a while, and then something would come up on the screen. And that was the operating system on the machine. Then you took that out, and you put in whatever program you were going to use. And you put another disk in and loaded that, because there was no internal memory. There was no internal storage space on the machine. It was just almost what we would call today web-based machine. And there's no information on it except what's fed into it. Now, the sinner is not just blank, but hostile to the truth, opposed to it, will not receive it without the operation of the Spirit of God. And of course, that's the mystery, and that is the wonder of the Lord at work within our own hearts. And so we can be thankful tonight that the Spirit, who is the teacher of all the truth, is come, and he will teach us and lead us into greater blessing. And when you think that you've arrived, you haven't. When you think that you've come to the point where you are brought to a deeper knowledge of the Lord, well, it's like going out to swim in the ocean. The further you go out, the more water you discover. And likewise, in the great things of God, he leads us into the depths. And in Ezekiel, it's described like the waters that are up to the ankles, then waters to the knees, waters to the thighs, and then waters to swim in. And I think when we get to heaven, even there, we will be discovering new things. But it's a wonderful thing to know that the Holy Spirit is come to be our teacher. But we must bow to him. And I mentioned on Sunday that there is an attitude. Many people say, well, we don't need to mention the Holy Spirit. We don't need to focus on him. Our focus should be on Christ alone, because the Holy Spirit has come to glorify the Savior, glorify him. And therefore, if we keep glorifying Jesus, we don't need to worry about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, that would be to rob ourselves of a tremendous, vital part of our own Christian lives. And while, yes, we want to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus, but when the Holy Spirit teaches us, he will always magnify the Lord Jesus. He will always exalt the Son of God. And we'll look at that next time as we come to this topic again. And my prayer tonight, the Lord will write this word on your own heart this evening. Now,